Dennis, buying a U.S.-made jet engine from Europe isn't easy. I think you tried it last week, didn't you?
I did. but I wanted two.
Can't be greedy, Dennis. That's one reason a little-known United States Export-Import Bank exists. The bank is a federal agency that helps U.S. businesses sell their products abroad by providing loans to, well, those foreign businesses.
And if a foreign airline wants to buy an expensive jet engine from a U.S. company, for example, the Export-Import Bank helps out that foreign company by giving them the capital they need and even insurance on the shipment in case something goes wrong.
Some U.S. businesses, like Atlanta-based Delta, are lobbying against the bank. Now, they say some of its loans end up helping foreign competitors save money on their purchases, and they use those savings to compete unfairly with domestic companies like Atlanta-based Delta. And on July 1st, 2015, it will be shut down unless Congress renews its authorization.
Fred Hochberg is the chairman of the U.S. Export-Import Bank. He is in Atlanta for a forum at the Opportunity Hub, and he joins us now in our studios. Mr. Hochberg, thanks for taking the time and welcome.
Great to be here. I love coming to Atlanta.
We're glad to have you. Now, we mentioned it a few minutes ago, but did we sum up pretty succinctly what the Export-Import Bank does?
Well, yes, what the Export-Import Bank does, the only thing is we don't give anything away. We actually lend money.
But the rates are pretty good.
Well, the rates are guaranteed by the U.S. government. And the reason people come to us, customers come to us, is because they can't get commercial financing. The banks either don't want to do it or do it at a level that becomes uneconomic. And you know, two-thirds of the work we do is in developing countries, as an example.
So if let's say I owned a business, just to continue the example, in Germany, and I want to buy a big generator from a U.S. company, why do I need the Export-Import Bank?
We don't do a lot of business in Germany, so that's a perfect example. But if you're buying a power generator, you might probably need a 12-year loan, 14-year loan. Those are harder and harder to come by with the kind of banking regulations we've had to put into place after the financial crisis. So in that case, we would work with the customer, and they can get a guaranteed loan. So we'll guarantee to the bank we'll lend the money, and as a result, the bank will be induced to make the
loan. So the company that wants the generator can afford to buy it from the U.S. manufacturer.
Right, because we have to remember, we're competing with Germany, France, Japan, China. We got a lot of competition out there.
So can you understand, and we're talking about Delta here because they have been very vocal about this, that it's an example of, well, they think it's unfair to give those foreign businesses that type of loan, it gives them an unfair advantage. Can you understand their point there, and what's your response to that?
Well, first of all, Delta's a great company. Great company, has been important to Atlanta and the Southeast, and in fact, one of the most profitable airline in the country. But let's remember one thing. Foreign companies, foreign buyers, have a choice. When it comes to airplanes, they can buy a Boeing airplane or an Airbus airplane. I think we can.
Airbus is a European company.
Airbus is made in Toulouse, France, and Hamburg, Germany. I think we can all agree we'd rather those jobs be here in America than in Toulouse and in Hamburg. So what we do to make sure we don't hurt any U.S. company, we do what's called an economic impact study. We'll do a study. Does the export of a capital good, like an airplane or farm equipment or power equipment, could the products of that actually ultimately hurt the U.S. economy?
Did you do that in this case?
We do that on every airline transaction. We do that on every single airline transaction to ensure that we're not in any way damaging the U.S. economy. We have only one goal, U.S. jobs. So we're not looking to in any way hurt or reduce U.S. jobs by selling other products.
Have you made this known to Delta? Do you talk to them? Do you talk to the chairman?
Richard Anderson and I, we've had dinner together.
What was that conversation like?
Well, we've had dinner. In fact,
The lawyers did a little talking recently, too.
But Richard and I have a good relationship. I toured Delta Tech Ops. I think you were referring to it. You know, when they have customers, for example, Gol, an airline in Brazil, hard to get financing in Brazil.
Sure.
And the airline in Brazil sends their engines to Atlanta, right here, for Delta Tech Ops to do the overhaul services. We finance that because we'd rather those engines come here than other places in the world and not have U.S. jobs.
One of the things that you just mentioned was that so much of your work is done in the developing world. And the argument from opponents of the Export-Import Bank is, okay, yeah, a lot of the transactions that you do, the percent of the deals that get done might involve either small business or the developing world. but a huge chunk of the money goes to deals involving big companies like Boeing, for instance. They get a huge chunk of the money that's involved. So what would you say to somebody who argues there's a real disparity here that hints at what they would call sweet deals for companies that don't need all that much help in the first place?
So first of all, no money goes to Boeing. But the money we provide is...
No, but they benefit, certainly.
Well, they're beneficiaries. So the largest single category of exports that we finance is small business. Not only 90% of the customers, it's 39, 40% of the dollars. So it outstrips any other category.
But doesn't Boeing get around 46%? I mean, not when I say get, they don't get the money directly, but aren't they involved in like 46% or
no,
so of the
deal? Far less than that. Let's also remember, the state of Georgia is one of the strongest states for aerospace. We do financing of Delta TechOps, Gulfstream, many other companies, Aventure, which sells aircraft parts. So there is a large, our strongest exports after commodities in our country is aerospace.
Let's back up a little and give a little bit of a history lesson for our listeners here. And let's just be honest, there are a lot of people that did not know you all existed.
It's painful when you say that,
I'm
Rose.
So sorry. But this bank was created out of the Depression, is that
1934.
True? So if someone out there listening says, well, okay, you have these American-based businesses that are, for lack of a better word, squawking about all of this, does that sort of sound the alarm for you all that, hey, July 2015, we may not be around? And what are you all doing to ensure on both sides that this is fair and you know, you're playing ball fairly here?
Well, first of all, we fully expect to be reauthorized. We've got four bills in Congress, two in the House, two in the Senate. Bipartisan bills, partisan bills. So I think that we can find a common ground to move forward. As you said, Rose, 90% of our customers are small businesses. They get the largest single portion of the dollars. Do they get a majority of the dollars? No, but they get the largest single chunk. We also have to remember one thing also. Even large companies, they have big supply chains, and most of the supply chain is made up of small businesses. So, you know, you may say, oh, GE is a large company, Boeing's a big company. They're really assembly companies. I think when you buy a Ford, Ford doesn't make the car. They assemble the
car.
Boeing assembles parts and makes an airplane. They don't make it. But let's remember, there is competition. When it comes to aircraft, Airbus made in Germany, France, and Britain, backed by those governments, that's who we go toe-to-toe with every day. And so we want to make sure we are there when a Boeing is competing against Airbus, that they come with a level playing field. Airbus is backed by their governments. We will make sure that Boeing is equally backed, if needed.
You've been talking about that this is about job creation in the U.S. Do you have some numbers? I like numbers. I'm
sure.
A data person. Do you have numbers that support how many jobs have been created? Oh, let's say the last decade, maybe.
Well, that's a long time. I'll tell you that since I'm at the bank, it's 1.3 million jobs supported. Last year alone, 164,000 jobs.
Now, you said jobs supported.
Correct.
But does that include jobs created?
It includes both, and I'll tell you why it includes both.
Okay.
And I prefer to use supported because I think I want to be absolutely perfectly accurate.
Okay.
In some cases, it's created. In some cases, it avoids a layoff. So I was at the company just yesterday in Little Rock that makes lasers. He said, you know, because of exports, we now have about 8 to 10 people out of the 50-person workforce. If you stop doing business, if you go out of business, Power Technologies, we'll probably have to lay off those people.
Okay.
So in that case, it's supported.
Okay.
He's going to add a new product line, for movie theaters, plans to add 18 jobs overwhelmingly for exports. So those are created. So I want to be very accurate. That's why I use the word supported. And this is data, by the way, we get from the Department of Labor. This is not like we just cook this data up. We actually get the data working with Department of Labor Statistics.
We've got just a minute left here. Perhaps as a way to wrap up, so suppose that the bank were not reauthorized and there are folks in Congress on both sides of the aisle who would lobby against it or vote against it. Would the sky fall? Would all of those jobs be lost? Or are our businesses, by and large, strong enough to compete on their own?
Well, it's not a question of businesses being strong enough. It's a question of the financial markets being there for them. And when it's in developing countries, banks are reluctant to lend. When it's talking about when we're going head to head, whether it's are using, we've talked a lot about Boeing and Airbus, or GE and Siemens and Mitsubishi. We want to make sure that when they need us, we're there. We're a little bit like a fire truck. When you got a fire, you need a fire truck and you need a close-by fire station. In the financial crisis, we really stepped in. Now that our economy's better, banking is better, we've been able to pull back a little bit, and we're not there as needed as much, so we're not as present.
So would the sky fall if you were not reauthorized?
The sky's certainly going to fall on small businesses because virtually all of them have to demonstrate. Every company has to demonstrate additionality. Without this, the deal would not go forward or they could not be economic. So, now, will that happen on July 1st? I don't want to predict that, but I will say that already companies are concerned and are scrambling to find other financing backing so that they don't lose sales and lay off employees.
Do you have any policies in place that also ensure that small businesses that are owned by minority or women-owned businesses are also involved in this? Do you have those policies in place?
Well, you know, I was at the Opportunity Hub today on Marietta Street, largely a minority and women-owned business audience. Last year, we financed, of the $10 billion we financed, about $2 billion, 20% were sales from minority and women-owned businesses. That's been a real focus of mine. It's been a focus of the president's, that we want to make sure that those companies get an opportunity to sell, and particularly sell to places like Africa, where they may have family and relations, Latin America, places like that.
Fred Hochberg is chairman of the United States Import-Export Bank. Thank you for coming in and taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Rose.
Great to have you.